This is a prayer treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, website mbeinstitute.org. The title is One Mind, Day, Power Required for Every Action. Power is one of the terms that Mary Baker Eddy uses in order to define mind. This prayer treatment is a suggested topic that one may want to utilize when they first awaken after a rest period. One could think of it as when one awakes, they have an opportunity to have a new perspective after a rest. During a rest, it is a passive period of time. But when one awakes, it is time for the opposite, which is action. Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer, founder, and leader of Christian Science, defines on page 587, which is the glossary of the textbook of Christian Science, which she authored, which is entitled Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. She defines good, G-O-O-D, as God, Spirit, Omnipotence, Omniscience, Omnipresence, Omniaction. Omniscience includes Omni-Intelligence, Omni-Wisdom, Omni-Knowing. Omni relates to one, only, and all. So there is no other. Everything about God is unique, and the only thing that can exist outside of God is what is within God, which is the manifestation of God. And it's a direct connection. There can be no God unless there's a manifestation, and there can be no manifestation unless there's a source. And God is the only real source. And man, as an image and likeness of God, has been given dominion by God over all existence. But we have to earn it. We have to recognize it. We have to live it. That means we must put self aside, which is a false representation of man, and let God be our guide. And mind is the function of God, which turns on the light, that awakens, that alerts, that inspires. It's the action of inspiration. The real inspiration is from other synonymous terms for God, one of which is spirit, because spirit represents substance, the only substance, and that substance is flawless, transparent, and therefore reflective. It gives us an opportunity to reflect whatever we are willing to accept as a responsibility in order to be in alignment with the mind of God. As was just mentioned, everything about God is omni, which means one, only, and all. So the mind of God is one, only, and all. In other words, the theory that man has a mind is a false theory. It's a misrepresentation, a misunderstanding of truth. Because the truth is that God is the only mind. And if we are going to reflect that mind, then we can only reflect goodness. Because God is of purer eyes than to behold evil, as Habakkuk tells us in the Old Testament. Of purer eyes than to behold evil. That means our reflection of that one mind cannot include any evil. Genesis is a chapter which is the first one in the key to the scriptures. The structure of Science and Health, the textbook, is that the first 14 chapters are considered science and health. The first 13 are the details, and 14 is a recapitulation or a recap of 1 to 13. And it's structured in 24 questions and answers, which really gives us an opportunity to focus on those specific topics which Mary Baker Eddy is telling us that really covers all of science and health. And the key to the scriptures begins on page 500 and goes to and including page 700. The first chapter of the key to the scriptures, which is chapter 15 of the entire textbook, is entitled Genesis, meaning beginning. The second chapter is chapter 16 of the total textbook, and that's entitled Apocalypse or Revelation. The next chapter, 17, is the glossary. If we don't understand the spiritual nature and the truth about all of the key events and key people in the Bible, then we should give particular attention to chapter 17, the glossary, for that explains it. That gives us the truth. And the last chapter is fruitage. And that is 85 people who gave testimonies totaling 486, and they were all published in the Christian Science Sentinel and the Christian Science Monitor from the first publication in 1883 up through 1910 December, which is the final edition of the textbook that is authorized by Mary Baker Eddy. It's the last authentic one. Why is this topic of day relating to power as being required for every action? Can there be any action that is passive? Any action that is delayed? Any action that is diluted? Mary Baker Eddy defines God as omni-action. Therefore, the only kind of action that could exist is dynamic action. Action with life. Not action that is less than dynamic. Here are two other definitions of God. The first one is from the chapter 14, which is a recap, as mentioned, of 1 through 13, and the very first topic of those 24 topics is God. So now we can easily realize the importance of God, because it is placed first in the summary of the entire section of the textbook called Science and Health. What is God? God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. Very simple. Four adjectives, incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite, and seven synonymous terms for God. Mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. And the order of those seven terms are defined as being the order of development of thought. And the reason that that is a description is because the very first chapter in the Bible is Genesis chapter 1, and it has 7 days that are defined as that chapter. The very first day, it says there was light. That is enlightenment. That is mind. The second day, it talks about the firmament. That's talking about the substance. from day 1 through day 6, each day is describing in order mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, and truth. The last day, it is talking about God rested. Why? Because he had finished his work. And what's the quality of his work? Perfection. And God saw that everything he made was very good. And good is defined as God, Spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. So what does good really mean? Very good. What does it really mean? Well, since good is defined as omniscience, and omniscience is defined as all intelligence, all wisdom, and all knowing, how could everything that God is referred to that he did could be less than absolutely perfect? God is not only all intelligence, he is the only intelligence, one only and all. Where could any other intelligence exist? It couldn't. Where could any other knowing? There is none. Frederick L. Rawson is one of three Christian Science practitioners that we know of that healed every problem within 15 minutes. He and two others, Joel Goldsmith and Wentworth Winslow, all three had 15-minute appointments all day long. At the end of the 15 minutes, the case was done. It was over with. The healing was complete. Could there have been any lackadaisical, delayed, diluted, deflected action that was experienced in those treatments that were all finished with success in 15 minutes? How could they be? They were dynamics in action. Dynamics being lived. The reason I wanted to bring up Frederick L. Rawson is that he performed an instantaneous healing while a Christian Science friend by the name of Spalding, and they're both authors on our website. And Mr. Spalding is the one that reported this healing that was as a result of the understanding of who God is by his friend, Frederick L. Rawson. They both witnessed a cart being pulled by an animal, and this was 100 years ago, maybe 115 years ago. Not many motorized vehicles, especially heavy-duty trucks that could handle the cargo that was in this cart that was being pulled by this animal. So the cart was passing by the window that they were looking out, and while it was still in view, the cart stopped. And apparently the driver felt like he should inspect the tailgate. So he went back to inspect the tailgate. While he was back there, there was apparently some kind of a loud distraction noise that alarmed the animal. The animal raised up and dumped the entire load of rocks on the driver. Totally covered up. And when Frederick L. Rawson saw this, he made this statement. There is nothing but God. That's all he said. And the man came up through The pile of rocks that were on top of him, like a missile, a rocket. Not a scratch on him. Not a single scratch. He probably legitimately could have been called, at least by belief, dead. Instant death. Was the power in the words, or was it from some other source? Whenever there is something that is invisible, and it has divine characteristics, divine meaning perfect. In fact, it really needs to have other characteristics besides just being divine. It needs to be supreme based on everything around it. And it has to be infinite in that it has no limitation. One would think there would be limitations to this event, but there was none. Everything was overcome. The words have no power at all. Power is an invisible source. And there's only one. And Frederick L. Rosen said what that was. There is nothing but God. So there's no other action. There's no other power. There's no other vision. There's no other hearing. There's no other taste or smell or feel. Because God is omni everything that is real. One, only, and all. So it didn't matter what the so-called material eyes experienced or the ears seem to have heard. So it didn't matter what the eyes were seeing or what the ears were hearing or what one might have even been feeling for the poor, unfortunate individual who was covered up. Even the smell would be bad. It wouldn't smell like the aroma of a beautiful rose or some other fragrant flower or bloom of any kind. Everything about the experience tells us that it was a tragedy. But what did Frederick L. Rosen think about it? He didn't even have to take time to think because everything was instantaneous. He had a clear understanding of what God was at that moment, and a clear understanding of what evil was not. In other words, evil was not real, and God was real. God was perfect, and evil didn't even exist. It didn't have any power whatsoever because he didn't give it a home. He didn't give it a place in his consciousness. He had that filter working so good and so fast that there wasn't even a consideration to contemplate. He knew as soon as he saw that he had to see the same way Jesus did, and that is that no matter what the material evidence seemed to be presenting, it was false. A favorite way to describe fear, F-E-A-R, is false evidence appearing real, F-E-A-R. That's exactly how anyone that would have been involved in a healing such as this had to be thinking. The false evidence is not real. I'm not going to believe it. And his thought, Frederick L. Rosen's thought, was so aligned with the truth about man and God And the relationship that it was direct couldn't be broken, couldn't be damaged, couldn't be injured. There couldn't be any delay in realizing it, that the connection was direct between God and his idea, man, his reflection. He saw all of this, Frederick L. Rawson, saw all of this as not a coincidence, but as an automatic realization that nothing ever happened. Because the only action that could exist is the action of God. And God is omni-intelligence. So how could omni-intelligence think that it's a possibility that something outside of the alignment of God could be real? Because God is infinite. God is omnipresent. God is the only vision, the only hearing, feeling, tasting, and smell. The only thing anyone that is in alignment with God could think or observe, realize, be alert to, and accept as real was that anything unlike the perfect harmony and balance of principle, anything unlike that was not real. Principle is always in balance and harmonious. Spirit is always perfect. That individual could not be made up of bones and blood and all that kind of stuff. He would have been destroyed. A false sense of him was made up of those kinds of things. But the thought was so clear by Frederick L. Rawson that the suggestion of mortal mind with its so-called pulpy substance called a brain and eyes of some kind of material organ or ears that heard the sound that must have been coming from the accident, all of that was false. And Mr. Rawson knew it was false without even saying anything. He didn't even have to deny that any of those things had power, because it was so clear in his thought that God was the only one that was controlling this situation, and that this individual was an idea of God himself, and therefore could not be injured. As we embed in our own individual consciousness the omnipotence and the omniaction of God, any time there is an opportunity to view what is called an accident, one can immediately think of this incident and know that there's only one God and there is nothing but God, because God is everything that exists. Here's the third definition about God. And it's from page 587, the same page that the definition of good is on. And you'll note that the seven terms for God are included. They're in a different order, but they are there. God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all wise, all loving, eternal, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love. All substance, intelligence. So she wanted to emphasize a few of the other terms that are defined as God. And so she brought them out from within the seven synonymous terms to put a little bit more emphasis on them. Just as in the first one, she put the emphasis on incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. Could Jesus be God? What does it say in Matthew? A Pharisee asked Jesus, "Good Master, how can I obtain eternal life?" He was a tax collector. Apparently got a piece of the action because he was considered wealthy. And he wanted to know how he could get eternal life. He wanted to keep everything he had forever. That had to be his focus, because when Jesus told him the answer, he didn't like it at all. Walked away very disgruntled. Let's repeat the words that the Pharisee said to Jesus, and then the answer from Jesus. The Pharisee said, "Good Master, how shall I obtain eternal life?" Eternal life, live forever. Jesus said, "Why call thou me good? There's only one good, and that is God." And of course, the definition of good in the glossary aligns with this completely. Mary Baker Eddy defining good as God, Spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. So after he said, "Well, I'm not good, God is the only one that's good," that tells us right there that Jesus is not God by his own words. So then he answered him. And he said, "Sell everything that thou hast and give to the poor, and then come follow me." His whole purpose in wanting eternal life was so he could keep everything that he had. And Jesus tells him the solution is to get rid of everything you have. So he wasn't very happy. No answer to what he wanted, at least not the answer he wanted. I saw a quote not long ago that said, when you pass on, you can take everything with you that you've given away, but everything you have taken, you have to leave behind. One of the most popular authors of very entertaining documentaries is paid millions of dollars every time he produces a book. There was a bio on him a few years back, and I happened to catch it. He lives in the Northeast, way away from any major city. I think he's in Maine, very isolated. The closest other civilization is a small town. And he said, "Every time I get payment for a book, I have a very bad taste in my mouth, and I have to get rid of it. Because if I have a lot of money, I can't even think about how to write a book. It's a worry." So to get rid of his worry, he has to find the right source, or the right recipient, I should say, that he can give it to, and they need to comply with his requirements on how it's going to be used. And from this bio, it appears that universities are one of the favorite things that he uses for giving the money away. So I presume they need to build a new building or fund a new or several maybe new professors that are going to be paid from a trust fund or something of that nature. And the building has to be basically how he specifies it. And he doesn't give them any money, from what I can tell. He gives them the use of it upon his approval for distribution. So he keeps a tight control on how the money is used, which is very wise. And they have to agree, or they don't get it. He eliminates the element of corruption. Corruption is the biggest element in non-profit organizations. The wealthiest man in the world, y'all know who he is, he brought us a Tesla electric car, launches rockets and brings them back to land in their launching pad. He teamed up with the President of the United States. Y'all know who he is. But we try to confine our comments to offices and ideas and purpose and so forth, as opposed to personalities. And so they set up a department called DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency. It could be called Department of Government Exposure, or Government Extermination, or Cleaning Out the Swamp. You know, COS, Cleaning Out the Swamp. And they did research on the big nonprofit corporations. You know, the ones you see advertisements on TV or the internet that they show pathetic pictures and videos of children that look like they're starving to death. And they really look that way. I mean, they're pathetic, pathetic situation. And they use that as a decoy to cover up what they're doing. What they're doing is they're receiving your money and they are spending it for their own personal benefit. It's an entire money laundering operation. So don't give to a single one of these, even the Red Cross. It was founded by Clara Barton, and she was a super fine woman, but that's been, you know, 125, 30 years ago. Very sad. That's why Cleaning Out the Swamp, which is one of the things that the president promoted as his number one goal back in 2015, 11 years ago, is taking so long to do. It appears to be permeating everything that exists. It includes all the governments. It includes all the churches that we're aware of, even the Christian Science Church. Totally. Totally corrupted. Everything, every institution appears to be corrupted because of the infiltration by the corrupt government and intelligence agencies around the world. Not just the US, not just the UK, not just Italy, the Vatican, where all these things seem to have begun in those three places, but all over. Because they're all getting paid. Everyone's getting paid. So they all think it's fine. So that's the situation. So you have to do more work. Like this individual, if you have a lot of money, to really make productive use of what you give away. But the Bible, when it says we should tithe, it doesn't say we should tithe money. It says we should tithe. The Mary Baker Eddy Institute has this policy. Think of it as yourself. You have to give yourself. You have to give of yourself. Everything. Yes, money is a part of it. Your thoughts, your activities, the way you even think when you walk down the street. Everything needs to be oriented based on the Golden Rule. In fact, Christian Science could be described in those two words, Golden Rule. That's what Christianity is all about. Treating others as you would like to be treated. And the last thing we want to do is to be a taker. A taker means that we are wanting something for ourselves. All desires should be desiring something for the benefit of others. If you're working for someone else, you should be working to benefit your employer. That's the reason he hired you. He didn't hire you because he wants you to benefit yourself. He wants you to benefit whatever the goals of the corporation are. What are they doing? What is their project? What is their purpose? Sam Walton had a very fine purpose of giving. He was not a taker. When he started Walmart, he was not a taker. He was a giver. He was trying to find the best deals at the lowest price so he could turn around and resell them to his customers at a very good price, where you always got your money for what you paid. He could have low-quality things, medium-quality, or high-quality, but he always wanted you to be getting a fair price and really strove to give us bargain prices. And when you bought, what was his reward? He gave it back to you. He says you can bring anything back anytime for any reason on under any circumstance, and you get your full price returned to you. He couldn't give too much customer service. He was totally oriented to customer service. And how was he rewarded? Everybody came back and bought from him. Repeat business. And then it just goes around in another circle. Gave you an opportunity to bring it back. He wanted you to be happy. He wanted you to have a fair price. He wanted to treat you like a brother or a sister. Son or daughter. Mother or father. All one big family. And we are. There's only one God. That means we only have the same one father and mother. We're all brothers and sisters. Because we all have the same source. And everything we do, which is a reflection of God, comes with the power of God. God doesn't give us power. We reflect it. If God gave us power, God would be depleting omnipotence. So God maintains possession. And we maintain the opportunity to reflect the goodness of everything that represents God. Everything. No limit. Every single thing that is a quality of God, we have the opportunity to reflect. That's not taking. That's reflecting. And we need to utilize the benefits we receive by sharing with everyone else. We have to be giving all the time. There was a student of Mary Baker Eddy that was having a problem with a healing. And in the early days, she permitted them to come and visit her. And as soon as the individual got into her office, she said, What do you do when you're walking down the street? She could sense everything about him, just like Jesus when the woman was at the well and he could tell her entire history. Mary Baker Eddy had that same skill, because that comes with one's spirituality. They can sense the history of the mortality. So he didn't know how to answer Mary Baker Eddy. Finally, she said, because he was silent for an extended period, are you a Christian Scientist? Then he knew exactly what he should have been doing, but he wasn't. So he simply said, no, Mrs. Eddy, I am not a Christian Scientist. Thinking, well, what he should have been doing, but he wasn't doing it. She could sense that that was his problem. He was a taker. He was only thinking about himself. No wonder he couldn't heal. He couldn't heal himself. He couldn't heal anybody else. We cannot be a practitioner to help others be healed if we're thinking about ourselves. We have those who are viewing our website contact us, seeking a practitioner. And we became aware of one practitioner that claimed that they had good results. And come to find out, the individual requires payment in advance on 15-minute time increments. And the price was very high. As I recall, it was like $200 an hour. So you had to give a prepayment of $50 to talk to her for the first 15 minutes. And then it was over unless you made another payment for another $50. Her whole attitude was wrong. I'm not going to try to tell someone how they should run their business. It's not our duty to work out someone else's salvation. But what we do is we teach you how to heal yourself. In fact, on the home page, the whole home page is called Effective Healing. We provide detailed step-by-step instructions on what you need to do to be able to heal effectively. One really cannot teach an adult. The formative years where you can actually teach someone is when they're a child. A few years when they're a child, they're called receptive to being taught. After that, individuals have to decide they want to learn. So we offer the tools. We show you how to use them. We give you the examples in these prayer treatments. And if you have any questions about anything, about the Bible, science, and health, any question about anything on the website, or any of the authors or the publications, our door is open to have a conversation and answer any questions you have. Just click on the contact page. At the bottom of every page, there's a picture of a man's head. That means contact. And that will take you there. Or in the upper left-hand corner of every page is the menu. And down at the bottom is contact. And that will give you complete instructions on how to do it. Very easy, very quick, very fast. Man is defined in the glossary on page 591 as follows. Man is the compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full expression of mind. The scientific statement of being is a very powerful prayer. And prayer, in short, could be described as recognizing our own consciousness is what we're dealing with, not some esoteric thing out there in space. And what we need to do is make sure we have a receptive attitude such that we realize there's something better in life than what we have. There must be something that can fulfill the vacuum that I feel in not being complete. And when you have that sense, then you're open to learning about new dimensions. A common way that's been used for years is to say, think outside the box. The box being, you know, your little area that you feel safe in. And what that means is that you're just looking for things that will substantiate what you're doing that says you're okay, that you're doing the right thing. That's not thinking outside the box. That's letting the box define who you are. If you want to think outside the box, you have to let God tell you who you are. The laws of the universe are what tell you who you are, which are the laws of God. Not the laws of a pulpy substance called a brain. It knows nothing about reality. Everything real is invisible. Symbols which are visible are only representing the underlying truth on why they seem to be as good as they are. Whether it could be their beauty, their fragrance, the vision, the intuition, the overall feel, the fragrance, whatever it is. And then when you're ready to taste it because all of these other things seem to be right, that's the final test of whether it's really real or not. And Isaiah gives us some real strong words of wisdom, which Mary Baker Eddy quotes as an introductory quote to chapter 14, recapitulation. And it says, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Is that what we're doing? Are we taking each fact, that's the precept, and are we looking at each detail of the fact, that's the line, and then are we trying to gain some morsel of understanding, a step at a time? That's here a little, there a little. If we are, then we're on the right track. We can't be greedy and want it all in one giant step. It cannot happen. Because you're trying to retrain a pulpy substance that rejects outside intelligence that is a whole lot smarter than it is. So it has to be a drip, drip, drip process. Repeat, repeat, repeat. Say it, think it, do it. 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 In fact, it's the other way around. It's think, say, and do. TSA. Thought, speech, and action. It has to be repeated until we retrain what we have been led to believe is true. That's how we find out the real truth. Recognize that we have to get outside that box. We must get outside the box, or we can go nowhere. A lot of people think that there's no procedure or no system or no formula for healing. They're totally wrong. The church preaches that because they don't want you to become independent. They want to control what you read by that word authorized. Authorized literature. The 1828 dictionary by Noah Webster is the greatest dictionary that's ever been produced in the English language. And we bought a couple pallets of them. I don't know, it was several hundred. I don't know, maybe 200 or... I don't know, maybe 200 a pallet. I think we ended up with 400 or 500 books. And we bought them for the sole purpose of selling them at our cost, which was wholesale. They're reprints of the original. We had the hardest time selling them to Christian Scientists. Why? Because they were not authorized literature. Are you serious? Reading rooms, practitioners, teachers, all had the same story. Is this authorized? I felt like asking him, did you eat anything today for your breakfast? Was it authorized by the church? Mary Baker Eddy, when she learned that they were trying to set up this authorized literature thing, she did everything she could to reverse what they had done. They had already printed it in the journal. And so she sent out a special errata sheet and had it placed in all the bound volumes in all the reading rooms throughout the world. And as soon as she passed on, what did they do? They sent somebody around to all the churches to take them back out. They wanted to control what you read. Sounds like a good communist regime. You need to be independent. Mary Baker Eddy doesn't even recommend that Christian Scientists get together to study together. She said it's between you and God. It's not between you and someone that you know. She didn't even want a church. She had the first church, and she found out very quickly that there was a tendency to make it a bureaucracy. That was back in the late 1880s. So for about five, she disbanded it. For about 5 years, she had no church. And then there was a lot of pressure on her to have another church. Everybody's looking for a leader. They don't want to be a leader. They don't want to be a self-starter. They don't want to be an individual thinker. They want to be a follower. They want to be a sheep. So she realized the public wasn't ready to do anything on their own. So she agreed to set up another church. And the same thing happened. So she said, okay, I'm going to write a manual, and it's going to lay out the rules. And one of the first things it says is that every church has to have their own bylaws. They cannot use the bylaws of the mother church as their bylaws in their articles of incorporation, you know, in the formation of the church. They have to have their own. And after a while, she changed the symbol on the sentinel where it was branches that were formed together, all touching each other. And so then she put a new image on the front of the sentinel where they were detached. So there was no connection to the mother church with any of the branches. But what happened as soon as she passed on? In December 1910, they took her picture out of her own textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. They removed her picture the very same day she passed on. If you buy any Science and Health that was published after, I don't know, I think it was December 10th, 1910, that the day she left, then you're foolish. You should only study an authentic version, which we have on our website, which has her picture. And it's not copyrighted. So if you're reading from a copyrighted version, then you're not reading from the last, final, authentic version by Mary Baker Eddy. I refer you back to what I said earlier, and that is, if you have any questions about anything said in this prayer treatment, any questions about Christian Science, any of her writings, the Bible, anything on the website, and we have over 100 authors on the website, please contact us. In the menu, top left corner of every page, down at the bottom, there's the word contact. You can click there. Or at the bottom of every page is the footer, and there's an icon of a man in the left-hand corner, or a man's head, and click on that, and that will take you to the contact page. We look forward to hearing from anyone that is interested in going forward with their spirituality and upward. Mary Baker Eddy says, infinite progression is concrete being. Our future is based on continuous progression. No limit. This prayer treatment will close with a very special prayer from Mary Baker Eddy, entitled Diapason of Heaven, with a focus on mind. She did 7 of these, one for each of the 7 synonymous terms, and this one will be on mind because that's directly connected to the title of Mind, Power Required for Every Action. Here is the prayer by Mary Baker Eddy. And if there's any lingering thoughts, I will tack those on after the amen. If there are any, I wouldn't be devoting more than a couple of minutes to it. And when I say the end, that means that is the finale of this prayer treatment. Here is the Diapason of Heaven by Mary Baker Eddy with a focus on mind. This prayer treatment by Mary Baker Eddy begins with a quotation from Miscellaneous Writings, page 206. The real Christian Scientist is constantly accentuating harmony in word and deed, mentally and orally, perpetually repeating this diapason of heaven, quote, good is my God, and my God is good. Love is my God, and my God is love. She continues, we can declare often, divine mind is my mind, and my mind is God. God is my mind, and my mind is good. I have an intelligent mind, a good mind, a wise, perceptive, discerning mind, a clear mind, a joyous, happy mind. Mind is God, all action, all wise, all loving, all knowing, all seeing. Divine mind is enthroned in my consciousness. Mortal mind and matter and personal sense are not enthroned. Ignorance and apathy and materiality are not enthroned in my consciousness. Good is my mind, and my mind is good. Mind is my God, and my mind is good. Divine mind is enthroned. This is the Word of God. We have to change the subjective thinking we have of these seven names from personal sense to spiritual sense, and see ourselves and others as spiritual individualities, not personalities. This way is the only way. It is the way the Bible characters walked with God and ascended. Amen. There is one other thought that occurred just before I started the Diapason of Heaven prayer, and that is the power, if we understand it, that is offered by the inspiration related in the scientific statement of being. And that prayer is as follows. There is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is His image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. If you supplement or substitute words that are stated in a generic fashion, such as the word matter, there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter, you can supplement that or replace it with any problem that you would like to heal. And also, when it talks about man, you can say, I'm an individual manifestation of man, and therefore this applies to me. I am not material, I am spiritual. If you look at those words carefully throughout that prayer treatment, which is on our website, very easy to find, you can make that prayer your own by individually inserting or supplementing words that apply to a particular situation you may be working on to heal. It's a very healing way to utilize that powerful prayer. It is Sunday, July 19, 2026, at 08:02 in the morning. The title to this prayer treatment is One Mind, intended to be an idea for using it as day, and it states power is required for every action. Thank you for listening. The end.